Hello and welcome to the Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah, where our mission is to spread the gospel, disciple the nations, and help people find hope here at Anchor Baptist Church. My name is Tyler Thomas, and I'm joined in the studio today with Pastor Jason Atwood, pastor of Anchor Baptist Church. Good morning, Pastor. How's it going?
Good morning. I'm doing well, and good day to you. Looking forward to today and tomorrow as well. The weekend is always exciting. It's busy, but busy for the Lord, busy in a good way.
Amen.
Today, we're going to talk about honoring the Lord with thy substance, and a very important topic here because we are to be stewards of all that God has given us. And specifically this morning, as you're listening, we're going to be talking about the subject of money. And oftentimes, it's something that people don't believe that maybe a church should even mention or talk about, but it's something that is necessary to deal with because God deals with it. Mm-hmm. And I love it that God's word touches on every subject that we face in life.
Yeah, I mean, we're not kidding around when we say the Bible is the final authority in your life for how you should live your life. God has commandments that go across the spectrum, and money is a very important one because our finances, our wealth is one of the many ways that we can give back to God and to be able to spread the gospel, whether it's through funding missionaries or growing a local New Testament church.
I heard this statement, you know, several years ago, and it's so true, and I've tried to use it because it's a powerful thought, and it's a fact that sometimes we hold so tightly to our money because money represents time. Mm. You know, hey, I put in 40 hours a week. I put in 50 hours a week to make X amount of money. And it's true. Money equals time. But what does time equal? Time equals my life.
Right.
And so our lives, we believe, are directly attached to our money. And so that's why many people hold on to their money with a death grip. And it's nothing new today. We live in a world that has become materialistic in its ambitions, but it's no different than it was in Jesus' day with the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said he'd done so many things and his works were so good according to his own eyes. But man, today we live in a world that has the latest gadgets and the best computers, the fastest cars.
And think about all the time and energy spent into when the latest XYZ product is released and mm-hmm. everyone is lined about side, scraping together every dollar that they have to go get that thing. And
I mean, the companies of today, I would say in the last probably 12 years, and I'm thinking iPhone, you know, they have made it to where people will camp outside of a store for a day ahead of time to get the latest release of that product. And it's moved beyond just the realm of cell phones, and it's now into other products that people are that excited about getting and desirous of. I just don't think that that's healthy.
No. And when, you know, when you're spending every last free dollar you have into things that are eventually going to be obsolete in mm-hmm. a year or, you know, break down or whatever, you have to ask yourself, especially as a child of God, are you doing the right thing with the gifts that God has given you? And you know, back to your earlier point, I there are so many charlatans today masquerading around running so-called churches, and their whole mission is to squeeze every last penny out of their congregation, and that's atrocious. And what that's unfortunately done is put this kind of weird sense into you know, you want to talk about when a Christian puts on their discernment glasses, is all of a sudden when the pastor starts talking about money, because, you know, they don't want to fall for that. They want to know that what they're giving to God is going you're going to the right cause, to spread the gospel and will be used faithfully. But because of that, I feel like, and you know, Pastor, you'll have more experience in this world than I would, but I feel like that makes it almost difficult to, you know, remind the congregation, like, you know, God's house runs on your tithe and, mm-hmm. and on your giving.
Yeah, it we would be sticking our head in the sand to say that a church does not need money.
Right.
We have to turn the lights on. You know, we have to have a good testimony and pay our bills and all types of things like that. So Yes, it's something that has to be talked about and discussed, but I've seen both ends of the spectrum. Sometimes people or a pastor will preach on money, it seems like every single service, but then you have some that never preach on money because, like you said, they're almost afraid of it. I try to be biblical with it. And, you know, we're told to preach the whole counsel of God.
Right.
And if going through a course of scripture or a passage, stewardship and our money comes up, then you preach it, just what God says.
Absolutely.
But I find that when a pastor is a good steward and it's evident and it's obvious where the tithes and offerings and special things are going, you don't have to browbeat God's people about money because they want to give. And giving comes down to a heart issue. Mm. Because I've got to realize, and this is where we get off base, we often assume that the money is ours to do with as we please. And, you know, I can tip God, I can do whatever I desire, I can give if I want to, I don't have to. But when we come back to giving is really a heart issue. And if God's people, myself included, if we're right with God in our heart, the issue of money is really a non-issue,
right,
to be honest with you. It goes along with everything else as far as stewardship, of realizing that what I have been given doesn't really belong to me. It belongs to God. And, you know, if it's mismanaged after I give it in the offering plate, well, someone's going to answer to God for that.
Right.
But I've done my part in giving what belongs to God.
Absolutely. And just to get into it here, let's look a little bit about what the Bible has to say about the tithe. You know, we can look in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. And this is where the title of our podcast comes from today. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And I think one of the important things to note there is this is the first fruits. This is before you've spent your money anywhere else,
right?
You know, like you said, Pastor, give God what is His, and at a bare minimum, what is His? The Bible, biblically, is the 10% of your increase. And so, you know, this is before the government gets theirs. You know, render unto God the things that are God, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But God's money comes first. That's His money.
And I think that's where a lot of people struggle. Most Christians that I know of, they want to tithe. They want to give. They want to give to the Lord. They love the Lord. They love their church. But most of the time, they struggle with this giving to God before all else. And what they find themselves doing is they, you know, pay some partial back debts that they owe. They pay their rent. They use their eating out money. And all of a sudden, at the end of the month, they're thinking, "Oh, we need to tithe." And we can't afford to tithe right now. It's not possible. And literally, they come to the point where it is not possible to tithe,
right,
without, you know, getting behind on some other payment. When the Bible talks about here that if we will give God His first, that 10%, God will bless, God will meet our needs. Doesn't mean it's not going to be a struggle, especially if we've been a bad steward before that. There's going to be times of struggle through that process of getting our feet back underneath us and getting things turned around. But God will bless when we give Him our first fruits.
Yeah, we can see in the Bible, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And so God is almost challenging you here, you know, go tithe, give the sacrifice to the Lord. Like we're talking about, it is a heart issue, but if you give your heart to God, He promises to pour out blessings. And that's not, you know, we're not talking about a Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen
right.
style. You're going to see a BMW if you give that 10% and struggle, but you're going to be blessed in your walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be storing up treasures in heaven, not treasures here on earth that will, you know, rust and where the moths will eat it, like Jesus told us about. And really, you know, where a man's heart is where he stores his treasure. So receive your blessing from God and give God His money first. And then from there, what you have left, you'll be able to more accurately, you know, apply to the rest of your life. And you mentioned a little bit too, if you've been a bad steward with your money up to that point, and we'll get into that in just a minute here, it can be a little harder, but that's part of the, you know, learning process and getting better with your finances and becoming an obedient child of God.
And sometimes the blessing, if I could just cut in here a little bit, sometimes the blessing is just the fact of knowing I'm being obedient.
Yeah.
You know, some people are always looking for a dollar for dollar return on their offering and their giving to God. And frankly, they'll get really disappointed and really mad at God that, you know, well, I'm still struggling financially, but I tithed, I gave what I was supposed to. Well, God doesn't guarantee dollar for dollar.
Right.
Again, that's where we come back to sometimes charlatans.
Yeah.
That say, hey, if you buy this handkerchief from me, you know, that I've blessed, God will bless you tenfold financially. And that's simply not true. It's lying to people, and it's playing on their emotions, because God never says that. Tithe is a simple 10%. That's what that word means. 10% of all that God has given us, the first fruits. And why that's so important, the first fruits, is because we are giving God our first fruit, our first increase, trusting Him that He will provide the 90%. And that's a lot about what tithe is. It's about trusting God. And for those of you who would say that tithing is, you know, relegated to the law, we find in the Bible, we don't have time on the podcast, but Abraham gave tithes of all that he had. Jacob gave tithes before the law. They gave tithes underneath the law. Jesus gave tithes in the New Testament. And certainly we see it all throughout scriptures. It's something that transcends the law, that principle of giving our tithe to the Lord.
I mean, even Abel gave in faith, right? He gave the first fruits of his flock.
Exactly.
So yeah, tithing, and yeah, you're right. We could get into a whole podcast just about that aspect of it's not just under the law. But just to kind of round out the tithing topic really quickly, you know, as an act of obedience, I can't agree more. Like, it feels good knowing that, you know, with what insufficient, what low quality service I can provide to God, being the infinite God of the universe and me being this material, limited, sinful being, knowing that He provides means to be obedient with just the stuff that He gives us, whether it's money or time or whatever, that in itself is a huge blessing. And as a child of God, I would exhort anyone, you know, start tithing and know, do it with a cheerful heart. You know, pray over it, you know, pray that it goes to a good purpose, and you'll feel closer to God, knowing that you are serving Him through even this small token of, here, take some of the money you gave me.
Right. And yeah, that's a good point there. God makes it clear that He loves a cheerful giver, and we're not to give begrudgingly or necessity. And so if it's a heart issue with someone listening, and you're giving it tight-fisted as the offering plate goes by, you know what? Keep it. Because God doesn't need my money. He doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And God'll make His work go forward without you and without me. But certainly it's a blessing. It's a joy to be able to give.
That's right. And so as we continue to talk about money, there's definitely, to use the picture that you commonly paint, there's two ditches on the side of the road. And so when we talk about money, we certainly want to be careful not to love money. We don't want to make money our idol. The Bible talks about it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, you could read it. But the gist of it is the love of money is the root of all evil. And we could point to a million different pictures in the world where something was compromised or something went bad because somebody just wanted a little bit more money. Mm-hmm. Because they loved money more than they loved God, or they loved the good that they were doing, or whatever. On the other hand, and I think you can find, you know, the Bible speaks a lot against sloth and kind of by connection socialism or socialist type economic thinking, where the Bible exhorts you to, you know, to be a diligent worker and to work hard, not so that you can accumulate a bunch of wealth and go spend it on whatever you want, but so that you can, one, show the light of God through your workplace. So if you've been given the gift, or if you've been put into a place where you're in a career and you're working in the world system, do your job,
right,
and make that money, and you know, if you have the ability to increase what you gain based on the merit of your work, and you're doing a good job at work and you can make more money, that's more that you can give back to God. And I think that's an important thing too, is we don't want to be slothful. We don't want to depend on, you know, Caesar essentially to give us our money. We want to be able to say, you know, I put in that time, I put in that effort, and now I can give that back to God. Proverbs 10:4 tells us, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And so again, we're not talking about you want to be rich for rich's sake, but if you're dealing with a slack hand, that is, if you're being lazy, you're going to become poor, and then you're going to, in some sense, you might end up having to receive from the house of God and to become a burden in that sense. And I'm not saying that there are circumstances and we want to be able to provide for the needy. But if you have the means and God has given you the gift to go forth and work, he calls you not to be slack. He calls you to be diligent and then to serve him through that.
Yeah, sure. There's certainly that aspect of enabling someone in their bad habits or their bad stewardship. And that's something that as a child of God, I never want to do personally, and I never want to lead our church to do, to enable someone's lack of stewardship and just to allow them to keep living in that cycle by helping them financially or right. helping them along those ways. Some line that's what you see a lot of times. You know, maybe with the person on the side of the street, and you see them sometimes, and sometimes there are genuine needs. Sometimes there's, as Galatians talks about, there's unbearable burdens. But sometimes we have to be wise. And I know, you know, people would say, well, that's judging. Well, the Bible says we are to judge, you know, and we are to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. So someone else's, you know, bad stewardship does not give up me a reason to be a bad steward.
Right.
So we have to be careful with those things, because, you know, you can get into trouble in a lot of areas like that.
Yeah, and you look back to the Old Testament law even, right? God had a welfare program in a sense.
Yeah.
It was called gleaming, where, yeah. you know, the poor and the needy could go into the grain fields and harvest after the landowners had harvested. But the thing of it was, is this wasn't a handout. You had to go in there and you had to do the work. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, in a sense, we need to be ready to provide when God calls us to, but at the same time, we can't enable, like you say, we can't enable bad stewardship. We need to encourage people that if they're capable, they should be out there and working and serving God.
You know, and it's funny, in America, you bring that up, and in America today, we have this almost kind of a same thing. I mean, people don't necessarily have to go out and work for it as they did in Israel and go and glean in the fields. But a lot of times people will sometimes complain at Christians that maybe, well, you don't take care of the poor. Or they're, you know, they would say, well, you're against a social gospel of taking care of the poor and the needy. You know, when I go to a gas station or to a store, I don't give to those things that they're asking me to give for, because primarily I give my tithe and then I give above that to missions through my local New Testament church. And so you talk about people helping the needy, that's missionaries in the foreign field.
Yeah.
Not only are they helping people with the gospel, but they do provide, you know, help with maybe food or housing or whatever it might be at different times where that's needed. But as far as people that live in walk right among us, I do help them.
Yeah.
I pay my taxes.
Right, there you go.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. In America, we do have a system where the poor, the genuine poor and needy, because there are people that are genuinely poor and needy, and we do have a system in America whereby they are taken care of, and that is by people paying their taxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, no, do I give them $5 in cash? No, I don't, because I'm going to be a good steward of what God has given me.
Right.
But I do pay my taxes. I am obedient there. And we live in a society where that's how our leaders have chosen to take care of those people that are needy.
You bring up a good point. And, you know, being a child of God, every extra dollar that I can give, it needs to go to the gospel. It needs to go to spreading the gospel. Because in the end, what difference does it make if someone gets an extra $5 on the side of the road, or maybe an extra meal in the moment, if they're not hearing the gospel with that and potentially securing their eternity?
Well, it kind of is that old adage, you know, give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day, teach him how to fish, and, you know, you feed him for a lifetime. What is it profited if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Right.
So if we feed them, what good did we do? We basically sent them to hell full, yeah, with a full belly.
Yeah.
And that's certainly not what God has given us a command to do.
Right. All right. So as we continue looking at finances according to the Bible and according to what God tells us, we can look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And I think oftentimes, especially today, and maybe back in history too, you probably know a little bit more about that in history, but we are in such a culture where we are so borrow heavy. And, you know, we see this all throughout the 21st century of, you know, I'm going to take out XYZ credit card, I'm going to get onto XYZ finance program, and I'm going to buy stuff, and I want stuff. And it's not healthy, one, because you're taking away your ability to serve God, but two, you've also put yourself in a position where you are serving mammon, right? Like, mm-hmm, like literally you owe man your money, because so now, like we were talking about earlier, you're going to have to struggle and decide. In some sense, you might consider, well, I'm not going to tithe because I have to pay this payment, and that's only putting you in a position of disobedience, and you're hurting your local New Testament church. You're effectively taking what is God's and saying, no, actually, I'm taking this back.
Right.
And I for one, don't want to be stealing from God in any sense. So I think we're exhorted here that we need to not borrow more than we can pay back. Oftentimes, ever since becoming saved, so just a little bit of my own testimony here. Before salvation, I actually got into a lot of debt. I really wasn't a good steward with my money. I had no biblical foundation, certainly, and I lived life kind of for myself and for the things that I wanted. So I pulled out credit cards, I bought cars, and now I struggle in my own obedience with my finances, and sometimes I have to push a little harder to make it through the month, mm-hmm, and that's just the result of effectively the scars of sin. But now with biblical lenses on and an exhortation to maybe those who aren't in that position yet or who might be considering to get there, really stop and consider, every finance, every loan that you get into is years of payments, or at the very least, a year of payments.
Right.
That's money that you won't be giving, you won't be able to give to God, and you'll accumulate interest, and it will snowball if you don't take care of it. So really ask yourself, is the thing that you're going into debt for worth it? Now, there are things like homes, right? Or you might need a vehicle to get to work, and that's practical. But, ask yourself, do you need to take out financing for that, $1,200 foldable iPhone,
right,
or whatever? So
there's certainly the aspect of borrowing where you'll have a group of people that would say you should never borrow for any reason. And they'll take that verse in the Bible that says, we're not to owe no man anything. But then there's some that would say, well, that's don't borrow more than you can afford to pay back. And I believe that that's part of the aspect of that. Well, we're not supposed to get in debt to the point where we cannot pay back those debts.
Right.
As you look at it, I would say it's a good practice for maybe younger people listening. Don't borrow money on anything that depreciates in value.
Mm.
That means a car, that means furniture, that means TVs, things like that. Don't borrow on those things. Borrow, yes, on a house.
Yeah.
And don't borrow more than you can afford to pay back, and don't get it over your head and make a wise investment and a wise choice, and check the markets, check the neighborhood, see what things are doing. But don't borrow on something that is going to depreciate over time. And I think that's a big thing. If people would just do that one simple thing there, that would help a lot.
And I think part of that, too, is really it's this heart issue of covetousness. We're called to be happy with what we have. You see it in the Ten Commandments. We're told not to covet, right? When we are so focused on the things of this world that, in a sense, we're almost idolizing the things of this world, the material things.
Right.
We'll find ourselves compromising our stewardship of our finances. We'll find ourselves compromising our service to God in order to get these things and to have these things. And in the end, again, child of God, like, that's not going to matter in, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Put your heart in heaven. Store up treasures for heaven. Be happy with what you have. Be a good steward of your finances, and you will be blessed in ways that the lost world just will never know.
Amen. As children of God, we have an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven waiting for us at the end of this life. And we're told, Jesus told us to lay up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves don't break through nor steal. And so we hope this podcast has been an encouragement to you this morning. You've been listening to Sounding Out the Word podcast, and this is a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church located right here in Salt Lake City, Utah. And we would invite you to be a guest at one of our next services, and we would love to be able to meet you and share the love of Jesus Christ with you as we would worship the Lord together, even at the next appointed time. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.